Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not getting no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
another just beautiful day in Memphis, Tennessee. Just sun is shining. Hey, I got something for you.
What are you going to say next? I bet it's wrong.
I got something that'll cheer you up. You got a song maestro?
Cha 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 Morant. Cha cha cha.
The long wait is over, ladies and gentlemen.
Cha 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 Morant. Cha 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 Morant.
Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies return to the hardwood.
We still have 12 hours, Jeff.
Tonight, whoever would have imagined that we would be looking forward to Memphis Grizzlies games with this kind of enthusiasm, with this kind of thirst, this kind of hunger, this kind of can't possibly wait, pins and needles, to see how this will unfold. Here we are, past the halfway mark of February.
I mean, now, come on, all of us did. What are you talking about?
Shocking.
All of us thought that. I mean, we came into the season talking about, you know, no matter what the hashtag haters say, no matter what Vegas says, this is a playoff team. That's what
we
kept saying.
I know a lot of people,
you know what I mean?
Didn't. People have gotten on board, but there was a lot of room on the Jeff Calkins show bandwagon for the...
You can check the tape.
For the Grizzlies. You can check the tape, and what you'll see is when everyone else was doubting and hating...
Yes.
We said, I don't think we see more potential in this team than you all see. And so here we are. It's going to be a test.
There's no question.
It's going to be a test early on, and I'm not talking about for the Grizzlies. We're talking about for the fans because we begin with a West Coast swing.
Oh boy, do we!
Are we? What are the starting times on the games here on the West Coast swing? You got four games starting tonight, Sacramento. Then you got the two LA teams, and then you got Houston. How late are we going to have to be up as a city? Let's be honest. Last couple years have been easy on us.
Didn't have questions.
You can just wake up the next morning, figure out what happened, and. And it is not thus now.
There wasn't even really a requirement. You can just wait till the Jeff Calkins show to find out what happened. It was
We play the highlights. Yeah. On the unlikely event that they win the game, you'll hear the highlights.
Look at that. Good for them.
Now you will still hear the highlights. We'll be celebrating, mind you, every victory down the stretch in this playoff run. But what are the tip times, Central?
So tonight. starting at 9 o'clock. Tip-off will be at 9 o'clock. Of course, pregame with Eric will start at 8:30.
That's 11:30. It's at 11:30. You're up to 11:30 tonight.
Yeah, 11:30 tonight.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, Friday night.
This is going to be tough. It's the old back-to-back.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to sit one of them out? Are you going to plan? You could plan to sleep, but tomorrow's Friday. It's okay. You can stay up Friday.
It's hashtag Friday, and John needs it.
I don't think you need to rest either side of this back-to-back. You're not a rookie
and
anymore, people.
You also get 2 days of rest. You get Saturday and Sunday off.
All right, what time's the tip?
9:30 tomorrow.
Oh, that's a little bit tougher, but it's a weekend. It's a weekend.
It's a weekend night.
And mind you, no Jeff Calkins show Saturday morning, so
correct.
You can't hear the highlights. So you'll want to stay up for that one. All right. Then we got the Clippers.
On Monday evening, another 9:30 tip.
Again, though, you've had a couple days of rest.
Right.
9:30. That's a tough one on a Monday.
You know what? I'm asking the fan base. This is a playoff push.
How much do you want it, really?
Like, start treating your bodies right. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's exactly
champions
right.
Pay the price.
Champions pay the price. You got to get your rest where you can. And you know what? You can sleep all offseason.
That's exactly.
You can sleep all offseason.
Yeah.
All right. So the 9:30 tip and then the Houston game.
That'll be Wednesday night. That's back to the normal 7 o'clock.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah.
That's Central Time. That's where we were at Central Time there. So, okay. So, anyway, it'll be a test for all of us. We begin this playoff push with the Grizzlies with a comfortable, I think we can call it comfortable? Comfortable four-game lead over the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah, if you'd like some good news on that, I have some for you. Only one team. So right now, of course, the two teams that people most frequently discuss as
yeah,
having.
Are you disparaging the Spurs? You're about to diss the machine that is the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay, we'll include them because they also fit into this category.
Okay.
So the Trailblazers currently are trailing by four.
Yeah.
In the standings, the Spurs at five, and then the Pelicans at 5.5.
Yeah.
Since we've been looking at the current playoff structure or the playoff structure, the only teams that have come back from those sizable of leads after the All-Star break.
After the All-Star break. We are after the All-Star break. Yep.
The 91-92 Pacers, they came back from four. Also important to note, there were more games after the All-Star break during these years that we're referring to.
Okay.
The 84-85 Cavs came back from 4.5 to make the playoffs. The 87-88 Knicks also came back from 4.5, and the 94-95 Nuggets erased a 5.5 game deficit post All-Star break. So this is
doesn't happen a lot.
Not a lot, and all of those, if you notice, are since well before we had the current All-Star break.
I was talking to analyst Peter about this because I'm a little shaky. I will say, even though we were the first people to proclaim a playoff team before the season began. Occasionally, my faith will waver. And I was talking to analyst Peter about this. And the point that he was making was this idea that Pelicans have 27 games left, I think. Is that right? Pelicans have 20. How many Pelicans games left? The idea that they're going to go 17-10 is crazy. Like, that they would, yes, it's an easier schedule. Yes, they have Zion. But they would have to play at a level of, like, right now, let's be clear. They are five games under five. They are 5.5 games. 5.5 games
and
under 500.
They are 5-5 in games with Zion.
Yeah, so it's not like we've. They would have to do something.
They do have 27 remaining, correct?
They would have to do something that they simply not only haven't done before, but like she showed no inclination they would do it. That is the fear that they go 17-10, right?
Yes.
They go 17-10. Grizzlies win 10 games or whatever there because they've got a murderous schedule. There you go. Boom. Pelicans got it done. But why do we believe they're going to go 17-10?
I don't.
I mean, you can go through and count wins as if they're the freaking Lakers or something, but they're not. That's not what they've proven to be so far. Anyway. We do get Ja Morant returning to action tonight, something to look forward to as the playoff race finally resumes. Just to keep you up to date, the other contenders do not play tonight. Grizzlies
Indeed.
Have a free shot tonight against Sacramento because it is the Pelicans and the Blazers tomorrow.
Is it a free shot, though? Isn't this the must win?
This is a must win. Yeah, this is the chance. They got to take advantage of this, baby. They got to take advantage. They won't be favored. Are they favored tonight?
Let me double check. I think they were going
to
be about one point.
This isn't, not to get in some, this isn't like Memphis. This isn't going to be a walkover like Memphis
against East Carolina. No, but I'm saying when you look at this four-game road trip.
Oh, this is the one. This is the one you would
If
would
I gave you 1-3, would you take it?
I would probably take it.
I would too. God, talking Jeff, I'm the best. What? God, or I'm a degenerate. Grizzlies are currently a 1-point favorite.
Grizzlies are a 1-point favorite.
Of course, as we know, Sacramento is where Grizzlies' dreams go to die.
Right, I think there's some Eric Kesselstein vibe happening.
We could also maybe throw Jaeger in there. But you're right.
So anyway, so Pelicans Blazers tomorrow.
Correct.
Who are we going to be rooting for in that one?
I think
It depends on what we find out about Dame.
Yes, I think that's
you're rooting for the Blazers. If Dame does not play, you're rooting for the Blazers.
Correct. But if we find out Lillard
is fine and 100%, then I think you're rooting for the Pels.
No question. I think a 5.5, as you point out, 27 games remaining, 5.5 games is very difficult to make up.
San Antonio doesn't play till tomorrow night as well. They got Utah, I believe, right?
Correct.
They got Utah.
They play, I believe, tonight. That one, I believe, is tonight. Okay. Yes, correct.
Yeah, okay.
That game
they
is...
They got Utah. It is Utah.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. It's tomorrow.
Thank you.
I had the wrong list.
Woohoo! I'm right again.
Uh-huh.
Shocker. Shocker there. They got Utah tomorrow night. San Antonio against Utah tomorrow night. They will all be rooting for our old friend, Mike Conley. So...
Oh, hang on. Double check. That was on Friday's Grizzlies game next Friday.
Gosh.
You're still right, though.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I like you being right twice. On the
same point. Today on the radio show... Christian Fowler is going to join us in the next segment to talk about the Memphis Tigers. Christian, of course, is with 247, with 247 Sports. Go Tigers, 247. And honestly, yeah, we'll talk about last night's game. Because we're professionals and we have to. We will also, though, I haven't gotten his, no one covers recruiting with the vigor that they cover recruiting, right?
No question.
They're most devoted to the ins and outs of recruiting. John Martin nails this stuff right and left. Boom, boom, boom. He's always right, basically. Ever since Austin Nichols, he's been right on recruiting. But in terms of day in, day out updates, no one covers recruiting like Christian Fowler and 247. And so I'll be interested in asking him about the future and where the Tigers are, particularly depending on the Mike Miller situation. And who else might there be beyond the two people that we know, Greg Brown and Jalen Green? So we'll ask him about that. Also ask him about Memphis football. I do think there is really, I guess not remarkable, but substantial interest in Memphis football. Don't you think there's been a nice carryover from that season?
Defending champions, baby.
Yeah, they're defending champions. And so the schedule, recruiting.
And you've got your three
the
best
staff.
When it helps, you got your quarterback coming back and your best two playmakers.
Yeah, aren't you kind of shocked that recently people have been, someone projected them as ESPN as fifth?
I was very stunned by that.
How does that happen? They're defending champions. They have their quarterback back. They have Kenny Gainwell back, maybe the best player in the conference. Oh. And they have DeMonte Coxey back. And they have they're missing Mike Norvell play caller. That's true. And I'm not gonna downplay what that means. But
usually that isn't accounted for in those type of analytics.
They got total carryover in terms of the roster. And then I thought they were a much better defensive team last year and a better coach team last year than before. But by all accounts, this is even an upgrade from that. Like, the defensive staff gets incredibly high marks that they hired, that Ryan Silverfield hired. Ryan's going to be on, by the way, I think, with Jason and John today. So, anyway, we'll talk to Christian Fowler about all
1225 for
of him. That. I was right yet again. God, I'm on quite the run today. So we'll talk to Christian Fowler next about Memphis Tiger basketball and football. Chris Harrington, of course, at 10:01 will join us, as he always does. And the NFL has big changes in store. We'll get whenever we have a chance to talk about the NFL, we like to do it here on this show. We'll get Jeffrey's thoughts on what the future is going to look like for the NFL as they are tinkering with the playoff schedule, and it appears the regular season schedule as well. So that is the lineup today. I could talk to you about Memphis basketball.
Okay.
I was there last night. Or I could talk to you briefly about the new challenge in the Calkins household. And it is rats.
I'm going to go with rats.
I'm giving you a choice of
Yeah, maybe if you can throw like snakes in there,
Memphis basketball.
Mm-hmm. Other House of Horror things. I'll take that.
You want rats?
Yeah, I do.
I'll just give you
I need it.
I'll just give you a brief update on rats, okay? And I want to tell you, by the way, it has a happy ending. Because Jameson Pest, I didn't realize that Jameson.
Maybe not for the rats.
I didn't realize that Jameson does. I knew they did lawn stuff, okay?
Correct.
So they were over yesterday because of this rat problem that I'm about to discuss. And what they pointed out was, whereas my lawn this time typically is splotchy green, that's because weeds don't die, right? That's because, when you have just weeds, they can be green anytime. Now my lawn is basically a sort of that dull brown that Bermuda is before it becomes lush and green, right? Like it's uniform. It never was like that before. It's like that now. Mosquitoes were in abeyance. They've got any cockroaches under control. I haven't seen a cockroach in years. Ants, but I didn't know they did rats. Well, here's what happened, and I want some. What would you have done? So I came home 2 weeks ago. I do get someone to clean my house every 2 weeks, okay? And I apologize if I don't do it myself, but I don't. I don't. And I'm a bachelor, so I get some folks to come in every 2 weeks and clean my house.
Busy man, too.
And I got a
note. With a regular schedule.
I got a note that said, boy, the rats are having a field day with the dog food. I said, what?
Excuse me?
Well, in the laundry room, it turns out I had left a bag of dog food. And the rats, and they had carved a hole in the bag and were having a festival. Just a wild festival, okay? Like, I don't know how I didn't see it, but it was Mardi Gras, okay, in my house. And Memphis has rats.
They're millions culturally appropriate, too.
Millions and millions of rats Memphis has, right? Remember Kirby High, right? They're outside, they come inside,
that, yeah.
You have a food source, rats. I think most Memphians have at some point. I don't even take it as a personal disparagement of my lifestyle. I just think it's Memphis, and I had rats. Maybe it is. But anyway, I left the dog food out. It's my fault. Okay, fine.
This feels like therapy.
I put the dog food in a closet that has a door. And I said, okay, I'm putting it in this closet here, in a door, okay? I come down the next morning. They have dug a hole under the door through the carpet to get into this closet.
They're resourceful and dedicated.
So I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do now?
And hungry.
So then I said, well, screw this. I'm going to poison them. Now, people say and the reason I was going to go poison was I once did the glue traps.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with the glue traps is I did it once for a mouse. And when I was in the den. This was a different house. And I heard, weak, 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 like at 8 o'clock at night. And you walk in there, and there's a little mouse looking up at you from the glue trap saying, why'd you do this to me? Like, what? Let me go.
What the hell, man?
Let me go. And very famously, if this was, I don't know, we've been talked about on this show or back when I was on another show, what do you do then? What would you do then with a mouse in the glue trap? Do you just throw it out?
Yeah, probably.
I couldn't do that. I took the mouse and the glue trap, I put it in a pizza box. I folded the pizza box over, I put it behind the minivan's back tire, and I backed up over the mouse. Figuring that was more humane.
Okay.
Some people thought that was gruesome. What do you think of that? And then I threw out the pizza box.
Right. I understand your thought process. I also don't trust myself to be accurate enough with the backing up.
Well, then just back. Then you just go back a few times. Go back and forth and back and forth. Okay, it's only a pizza box. Anyway. But I didn't want to deal with that kind of horror. So I put out poison. But then because I have dogs, right, A, they say don't do this because then the rats will die in the house. They'll smell up the whole house, okay? And then they also say rats will die and your dog can then eat the dead rat and then your dog will die.
What a lovely image.
So, but I put the, this gets worse. I put the poison out.
You don't say.
In the laundry room. And then I created a barrier so the dogs couldn't get a big barrier because I didn't want the dogs to eat the poison. So the dogs couldn't get to the rat poison, okay? One of the things, one of the elements that was in the barrier, it was like in that like Les Mis, you know, that big huge barrier in the road, I threw everything, chairs.
Do I look like a Les Mis guy?
I put chairs, pillows, tubs of whatever, and then I happened to take a kitchen size garbage can. A tall kitchen garbage can. It wasn't upside down. It just was part of the barrier, okay? I put it there as part of the barrier. It was embedded into the barrier with the poison on the other side. I go in the other morning, and I hear this, blah, blah, blah. And I look down in the garbage can. There are 5 rats in the garbage can. Now, these were, I've subsequently learned, baby rats. Also a bad sign. Like a big rat could get out of the garbage can, right?
So are they mice?
No, these were rats.
Okay.
And these are baby rats, which are basically the size of mice. 5 of them. I now have 5 baby rats jumping up and down in the garbage can. Leaping. I couldn't tell if it was 5 because they were moving so fast. I thought it might be 7. So these rats are leaping.
Small guard lineup.
5 rats are leaping. Anyway, so small guard lineup. Exactly. So what do you do then? I asked you before. What would you have done with a mouse on the glue trap? What do you do with 5 rats in a garbage can?
I most likely would have found a way to pack up the garbage can and take it some way away from and then let them free. But
really? That's exactly what I did. I think most people, I thought about drowning them. But then what I thought was as the water increased, they'd swim to the top and then they'd get out somehow. I thought about driving.
I mean, I have seen Ratatouille. Remy does survive. Spoiler alert. Remy survives a big sewer scene.
I thought about dropping a giant brick in there somehow multiple times and squashing them. But they were leaping so high. So I actually did. Now, you had to make sure they couldn't get out of the garbage can because they were leaping about 6 inches from the top of the garbage can, okay? And so then I took them and I put them, made sure they couldn't get out, and then I took the garbage can and I wedged it between the front seat of my car and the back seat of my car, standing up, erect, as it were, and drove to your neighborhood.
Thank you.
Not your neighborhood, but just generally, ladies and gentlemen, I drove to another neighborhood. I made sure I went across Ridgeway because I live on the west side of Ridgeway. I mm-hmm. thought I needed to get a couple miles from my house. I don't know about rat homing instincts, you know, like the dog that finds its way back, whatever.
Correct.
I don't know how good rats are
Correct.
At that. So, but I had to go a few miles, and I wanted to go across some main streets, and then I just tipped the garbage can over and I let them out.
Set them free.
Mm-hmm. And then guess what happened? I did it another night. Now, having inadvertently stumbled upon this rat trap,
mm-hmm.
I did it another night. And guess what? I caught another baby rat.
I think what we're learning is...
This one I let 3 just outside the Intercom studios.
Oh, well, that's very... Listen, there's no copper wiring. There's the... Yeah. I can't wait till we go off the air.
All right, because of my rats.
Because you've let rats get into
anyway, it was in the midst of all of this that I said, I wonder if Jameson does rodents. I didn't think they did rodents. Like, they absolutely took care of my mosquitoes, and they absolutely have fixed my lawn. And I'm like, and lo and behold, they do rodents. And so Eric from Jameson shows up yesterday, and we got rat traps, we got glue traps, we have declared war on rats, ladies and gentlemen.
We brought in the professionals.
It's like Caddyshack, right?
Yes.
Exactly. We brought in the professionals, and I've declared war on rats, and there will be no more rats in my house. They, by the way, discovered, because I went out and I bought a giant tub for the dog food, a industrial-strength tub for the dog food. And I got it from Home Depot, the strongest, stoutest tub I could put. And I put the dog food in there. Guess what Eric discovered? They had chewed through the tub. They were in my dog food already. So now guess where the dog food is?
Higher?
In my car.
Okay.
If they chew through my car, God bless them.
Where are your dogs? Like, where's the food bowls?
I'm putting them in my car too now.
Okay.
Like, what, after they're done, I don't want anything. I don't want them to have any reason to any food source. And Jameson has come and declared war on the rats. They put out traps. Now, they don't put out bait, as they call it. They call it bait, not poison. I like to call it poison because I like to think of those rats dying. But they don't put out bait because they don't want to poison your dogs and they don't want to whatever else. They say, if you want to do bait, man, you're on your own. By the way, do you think I want to do bait? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, you're big on solving the problem.
God, it's the worst. Some people, I'm not that squeamish. Some people would not have been able to pick up a garbage can rats.
I could have done that. I do not think I could have done the pizza box thing. And this isn't me.
Really?
I don't think I could have done it.
Well, the problem will be, of course, is when I come back and there's a giant-ass rat on the glue board.
Correct. Now, Vance,
Eric's very clear. These are like roof rats, which people in Memphis get.
Correct.
So Eric's very clear.
Just hungry.
Looking at the droppings, these are not mice. This is rats, ladies and gentlemen. It is funny. Ratatouille was such a charming movie. They're lovely in Ratatouille.
Yes. Maybe my favorite Pixar movie. Vance Williams.
Anyway, okay, yeah.
Vance Williams asks a question that, listen.
Yeah.
Vance, friend of the program, and I think he asked a good question. I am not endorsing this.
Okay.
But I do think it is a question that needs to be asked.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Should we invest in cats to solve this problem, Jeff?
I had that thought.
I'm not advocating.
I don't think and some people say, well, they won't get along with your dogs. My dogs don't care about a cat. They would snuggle with the cat. My dogs.
Well, Juno would run away.
They might run away. They are not interested in killing a cat. So I could get a cat. Does a cat really help with rats?
Yeah.
And how do I know that it's a trained killer cat?
That's a great question.
Okay, people on Twitter.
Right. How do you know the difference? How do you know if you have a cat with panther instincts? I got
Jameson on this, by the way, because my ex-wife got a cat once and didn't have no interest in that. None.
Yeah.
Zero interest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want a cat if it's not going to be a useful cat. I don't need my dogs to be useful, but I want my cat. If it's going to be a cat, I want my cat to be useful.
Correct.
Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, underscore Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Do any of you have experience with cats and rats? Jameson is on it. JamesonPest.com. If you want issue, get the pre-emergent down. I wish there was a pre-emergent for rats, I'll be honest with you. But get the pre-emergent down for the lawn and mosquitoes. And Eric, I've never seen anyone as armed for rats as Eric, who was over at my house yesterday. But I do think Vance raises a reasonable question. Should I get a cat? I'm willing to get a cat. I don't hate cats. I just don't love cats.
Yeah. Why get a cat when you can get a dog?
Scalded. Cats are awful. Cats are lazy and crap in a box. Worthless.
Well, it's just, it raises the question, is the cat that I'm getting, is this,
I just need to know, is this
a predator or is this Garfield?
Exactly.
Like, I need to know. If I'm getting Garfield, I don't really have a ton of use for that.
I don't want to be changing the cat litter all the time. I just don't. I'll be honest.
Although I will admit, with the weather streak that we've been having the last month,
maybe they're just coming in because it's. Listen. Oh, here we go. Carol Mitchell says no to cats. Outdoor cats kill birds more than rodents. That's true. I don't want to kill birds.
I mean, the truth is,
I don't want an outdoor cat killing birds in my neighborhood.
Listen,
I think Carol makes a good point.
My dog Carly's worthless, with the exception of one thing. That girl is.
Good.
I mean, you might as well just call her. Yes.
Aren't there some dogs that are ratters? Look up dogs that are ratters. Bo Mitchell says all cats are tiny little tigers with bloodlust. You say that, but I saw the Tigers last night. Bloodlust does not describe them.
Did not have the killer instinct.
They did not have – those cats would just let the rats come in. Those cats last night, those Tigers last night did not want to. They had their prey. They were just toying with their prey, and the prey nearly got up and ran away.
Yeah.
TJ, cats absolutely help with rats. I have two. We have no mice. We put stuffed mice down on the floor, and they attack the toys. I can let you rent sea bass. You will have no mice. Karen,
that's a great name, by the way.
You can work on attracting a stray cat or two. There is a house in my neighborhood that has like 15 cats around them. There's probably no birds in my neighborhood because this house is 15. This one has cats.
Okay, you want the top 10?
Mark is no help whatsoever. He says, remember the plague. Cats got the blame, but it was really the rats that spread it. I know. That's why I'm trying to get rid of the rats. Don't want the plague in my house. Memphis Peach says, as a single guy, if you have a cat, you are doomed. Is that true? Is there such a thing as cat lady? Is there such a thing as, I know cat lady is a stereotype. Is there cat bachelor?
There is science behind women are more attractive to men if they own a dog. I don't know.
Yeah,
about
but I
cat.
Own a dog. Does the,
you
if,
own,
you
well,
own
no,
a,
you own three.
If you own a cat, does it or cancel two. Out the dog? I get points for the dog if I own a cat. Joey says, I hate cats, but my family lives on a farm, and when we have cats, we have never had an issue with rodents. It's their instinct to kill them.
Okay, here.
What if I just have an indoor cat, a bloodthirsty indoor cat?
I just think that in general, like animals are going to take in the habit or the habitat that they like. I think if you make it an indoor cat, it's just going to get fat and lazy, like Garfield.
Josh, I have three cats. Two of them will kill anything rodent size: squirrels, mice, rats, moles, and birds. Well, that's not nice, Josh. It's funny though. We discriminate between birds and like just because you have wings, why should you live as opposed to rodents. Anyway, they're indoor, outdoor, no cat boxes. Drew says get a pit bull or a German Shepherd. Do they kill rats?
Well, here, according to Pet Helpful,
Bill
Bracken, the top
get
10,
a rat terrier or a Jack Russell
yeah,
terrier.
Yeah, here's the top 10 rat hunting dogs. Number one, appropriately named, the rat terrier. Number two, is that the Cairn Terrier?
Cairn Terrier.
Cairn Terrier. Yorkshire Terrier, three. Norfolk Terrier, four. I'm noticing a trend. Five, Jack Russell
Terrier.
Oh, the
terriers are rat dogs.
Six, the West Highland White Terrier. Seven, the upset of the century, the Dachshund.
Scalded wants to absolve the rats. It was the fleas on the rats that caused the plague. It wasn't the cats. It wasn't the rats. It was the fleas on the rats.
I mean, technically, don't you have to say, like, if you're housing...
There's a flea and a fly on the wart, on the nose, on the tail, on the frog, on the hump, on the log, on the hole, on the bottom, on the sea? What? You have to say what?
I think technically, don't the rats bear responsibility because they got fleas?
Scalded. Worst smell in the world is male cat spray, followed by cat urine. This is disgusting. This has taken a disgusting turn. The whole thing has taken a disgusting turn. But I will still take your rat tweets. Look at that. We avoided talking about Memphis basketball at least for a while, but we'll do that when we return with Christian Fowler. After that, Chris Harrington will join us. Thank you for all your wisdom on cats. Oh, and after that, we'll talk about the NFL. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on a Thursday that's a little bit off the rails. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Make plans to be at Rec Room on Saturday, February 22nd. Catch the action on our six giant screens as WBC heavyweight champ Deontay Wilder again faces unbeaten lineal champ Tyson Fury in one of the biggest bouts in recent years. Plus, check out our new menu and drink specials. It's a hell of a lot cheaper than streaming the match at home. Bring your crew to Rec Room, 3000 Broad Street at Tillman. That's Wilder versus Fury, Saturday, February 22nd. Reserve your living room now or get there early to grab a seat. The action starts at 8 p.m. at Rec Room.
Somewhere out there, there's a man on a park bench eating his 500th PB&J. He has no idea Papa John's has new papadillas that are way better than a boring sandwich. With Papa John's best meats, cheeses, and veggies hand-folded into a crispy flatbread crust. Someone better tell that man. Get a new papadilla in one of four flavors for just $6. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. Papa John's. Not valid with discounts, fees, and taxes. Extra prices may vary.
No joke. Last week, guy brings a heavy Mercedes into the Mercedes dealership. They offer him $225,000. We beat the bid by $20,000 at GiveMeTheVIN.com. We do it all the time. That's why we say, if we can't beat a CarMax offer, we'll give you $100. We're going to beat the offer. The market's coming up on used cars. Spring has sprung, and it's showtime, baby. Sell us your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear. Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. Achieving your personal best often comes down to how you feel. And when it comes to the right shoes, nothing feels better than New Balance. The fit specialists at the New Balance Memphis store conduct an in-depth analysis of your foot's size and shape to determine the best New Balance shoes for you. Experience the difference of the custom fit today at the New Balance Memphis store, located on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
My portfolio's diversified, my 401k's maxed, but my savings account just sat there till I switched it to Marcus by Goldman Sachs. I'm earning way more now, just between you and me. My savings are right on track, feels like I got upgraded for free.
You can money. With an online savings account from Marcus by Goldman Sachs, you could earn much more interest than with the largest banks. Sign up at Marcus.com.
Comparison made to the three largest U.S. banks measured by total deposits. Rates as of January 21st, 2020 may vary by state. Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
This is Gary Parrish, host of the Gary Parrish Show for the 8th straight year. Can you believe that? We've been doing this show for 8 years, and the very first company who ever advertised on the show was Cooper Systems. They've never left, and I'll owe Lee and Lauren Cooper forever for that. Anyway, I'm assuming by now you know the basics about Cooper Systems. You need a computer, that's your spot. You need computer repair, that's your spot. But did you know Cooper Systems also offers business networking and IT services for small to medium-sized businesses? It's true, they do. So if your network or server is not performing as well as it should, call Cooper Systems. They can design and troubleshoot your network or server, configure your firewall for maximum security, and improve your wireless network. They can get a certified network engineer out to your site and get you running smoothly again. So remember, if you need servers, business class workstations, routers, firewalls, laptops, desktops, Microsoft software licensing, Apple products, virus removal, anything, Cooper Systems is your spot. That is Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park, 360-9679 on the web, coopersystems.com.
Injured? Dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Jeff Calkins.
And then there was just the suspense of whether he would get his first triple-double.
Beal into the front court. Beal going to speed for Bertans. Deep three. Morant could get the rebound here. He does. Triple-double. And Kyle Anderson knew it. The Grizzlies knew it.
The Jeff Calkins Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I ain't asked now for nothing. I took the heart away. 12 put me over coming with the, they took my heart away. Heart away.
As promised, joined now by Christian Fowler. Christian Fowler, of course, writes for Go Tigers 247. I thought we'd change it up. We normally get Drew Hill to give us our commentary on the Memphis Tigers. Today, we are lucky to have Christian Fowler. Christian, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
So I got to tell you, I was not all that impressed. That was hideous, wasn't it? Like, that was... We've been in here explaining left and right why you can't criticize Penny Hardaway, because the... And then that thing unfolds, and it was ugly. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, you're absolutely right on that. And it's odd when you think about the game, because there's 2 points where Memphis leads by 12-plus, even a point in the second half where they lead by 16, and you're thinking, okay, Memphis is going to run away with this now. They figured it out. They're clearly the more talented team. They're outmatching them with size and talent and strength. They should run away with it now. And at that point, that's when ECU starts shooting well, which was surprising, because I actually tweeted something out. I think it was right under 10 minutes left in the first half. ECU was shooting 17% from the floor. Obviously, a team's not going to shoot that bad for a whole game, but the fact that they ended at 45% is pretty shocking. I think part of it is because, you know, their shot selection got better. You're not going to shoot that bad in the game. But Memphis' defense started to lack off a little bit in the second half, and then obviously there was the stretch where the offense could not score outside of Precious Achiuwa.
Well, I mean, so let's bring it. First of all, what you said is absolutely right. Like, that is a game against a team that is, you are just demonstrably, it is eye-popping how much physically better you are than East Carolina. They don't belong on the same court with you. It just, or barely. Like, the disparity is unmistakable. And yet, there you are, and you're up, as you point out, 16 at one point, and it's, and then they just go crazy. Like, in fact, Penny actually said that at one point. He turned to Cody Toppert and said, "We just go crazy," and they just do. They stop executing, and so you had a situation where all you had to do. This was a game where, in fact, once it became quote unquote winning time, they just threw it into Precious, and it was like it was the proverbial man against boys. Like, you could lob it into Precious every time and get a basket, and yet they don't. They get to this point where they don't execute their offense. Like, they just take turns. Oh, it's my turn. I haven't gotten a point in a while, and so Alo will plunge into the lane headlong and fling the ball to wherever, or Boogie will run over someone, or, like, it's infuriating, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's so weird to think about how they can play so well for an extended period of time, and then at the end of the game, like you said, when it's winning time, when it's time to put the game away, they just kind of freak out and they don't know what's going on. And Penny said it after the game last night during the press conference that when they get a lead in the second half, players just, you know, kind of start doing different things and trying different things. And that makes no sense. Like, if you're winning, if you're beating a team, especially in the past few games when you look at Cincinnati, UConn, South Florida, games that would have really helped them in their positioning in the conference, why in the world would you go away from what you're doing to build leads on good basketball teams? It makes no sense. And that's when, as a coaching staff, you have to pull them out if they're doing stuff like that. You have to bring them to the sideline during the second half and say, "Guys, you know, we were literally killing this team, and now it's a close game because you're doing whatever you want to do. You're going away from the game plan." It's just so odd. I mean, I guess we've heard it all year. It is a young team, but to just go away from the game plan and do what you want to do and try different things at the end of a game is just – it's not a good formula, obviously, and it's something that the players should be able to see that they can't do this and win basketball games.
I mean, they easily could have lost that game. In the end, it was embarrassing, really, that it was as close as it was. They easily could have lost that game. In the end, when it became quote-unquote winning, they did. They just threw it into Precious. They did what they had to do to win, and they got the win. For about 6 or 7 minutes before that, though, they hadn't. They just done whatever the hell they wanted to do. And I guess here's the question. Very clearly, Penny is frustrated by it. And he says they're young, and they are young. I grant you they're young. I grant you they don't have James Wiseman. I grant you they don't have Precious. I mean, they don't have DJ Jeffries. Once again, they're immature. They make dumb decisions, etc. Isn't it in the end, though, Penny's job as a coach to make sure they don't lose their minds at the ends of games? Like if someone, and I'm not suggesting going back to the Josh Pastner era where he would pull everyone out for every single mistake. But in the end, if you're not executing, don't you just say, fine, you're sitting. Like, I'll find someone who will execute. I will find someone who will keep throwing the freaking ball to Precious, even though we have a lead, because that is what, after all, is working, and not someone who's just going to say, it's my turn, and so I will take this shot now. Like, isn't that, and I guess this is, for me, the substantive question about Petty. Isn't that up to Penny to say, F you guys, if you're not going to do it, I'll find someone who will?
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point if there are players that are doing what they want to do at the end of the games and they're, like, I mean, he honestly said last night, quote unquote, trying different things at the end of games. That's not when you try different and new things. You try different and new things when you're playing a bad team that you know you can beat.
Well, they were playing they kind of were playing a bad team. They knew that. That's why they did it, actually, is they thought, hey, we got this. But given that they just lost three games in this fashion, you would
think,
it's
not the time to do it.
Good God.
It's not the time to do it at all.
How would you do, I mean, the mood last night when this was unfolding in the arena, it was sort of shocked, wasn't it? How would you describe the mood?
I mean, I would say at a certain point, so it wasn't a huge crowd, obviously, but at a certain point, it was decently loud when they were up big, And then when you when they start coming back and they tie the game, I mean, there was it was just silent. No one was saying anything. The only crowd noise that came at that point was when refs made bad calls. Like, it, the crowd was kind of in shock.
The crowd was, I cannot believe this is happening. I cannot this is happening. And then the,
not at all.
And East Carolina players were fired up. The huddles were fired up. Memphis huddles were kind of dazed and shocked. Like, I thought last night's game was as, if you want to be critical of Penny, last night's game was as perfect an example. I mean, I wasn't here. I wasn't here for the SMU, and I guess losing that game, that lead at the end. But my God, last night was depressing. I found it depressing. All right, I want to move on to other matters because I haven't gotten your thoughts on all of these things. One is you follow recruiting closely. Where do you think this team is on recruiting going forward?
So I think the biggest thing with recruiting, and I say it all the time because I have worked so closely with it over the past couple of years, is it can change on a day-to-day basis. And I really don't think fans understand how fluid recruiting is. I mean, especially when you look at recruitments like someone like Chris Moore, which is a recruitment that flip-flopped three or four times in the last couple of weeks. So it's something that is very fluid. But when you look at the guys that Memphis is still highly regarded with, I mean, they're still right there with Jalen Green. They're still right there with Greg Brown. There's still multiple guys like Kareem Main that they are in the top two or three, four. So I know a lot of people are freaked out that they don't have any commitments yet. And it could get sketchy if they miss out on players. I mean, we can't disregard the obvious of if they miss out on those guys and it's too late and some other guys have committed other places, it's a little sketchy. But they are in very good spots with Jalen Green and Greg Brown, which are two prospects that you definitely want to be in good position with. And those are two recruitments that are really going to come down to the wire. And when it does that, you know, I mentioned recruitments, how quickly they can change in a matter of weeks. Well, if you look at those two recruitments, if they go another month and a half or 2 months, there's no telling how many times those players can go back and forth from that point. So I think Memphis is in a good position with those guys and a couple of other guys. And they're also trying to convince players to reclassify, which could be a big piece of this class. Fans really just have to sit tight with recruiting because it is really an insane industry.
Let me ask you this though: isn't the fear is Mike Miller leaves, they don't get Greg Brown and Jalen Green? Is it as simple as that if Mike Miller leaves?
No, I don't think so. Penny's actually been running the lead on Jalen Green more than people are aware of. So, you know, Penny is in with Jalen Green. I mean, initially, Sam Mitchell was the one that got that relationship.
Right.
That was a big reason why Sam Mitchell came on, was to get that relationship with Jalen Green. He had coached him in AAU. So it's a relationship that Penny kind of took from Sam. Mike does have a good relationship with Jalen, but Penny kind of came in and made that his recruit. So that one more lies on Penny. Mike has been Greg's guy for a while, so, you know, there would be a little bit of catching up if Mike were to for some reason leave, go take a different job. Then I think there would be a little bit of ground to make up. But Penny has built a really good relationship. When they lock in on a guy that they know they want, you know, some of these five-star guys that they know are a priority throughout the class, like Jalen and Greg have been, Penny tends to build a really good relationship with those guys because I think he understands, obviously, coaches can leave. And he's the guy that's going to stay. So he needs those relationships with those guys if a coach is to leave.
That's interesting because I had sort of been under the impression that if Mike leaves, you can kiss those goodbye. You don't believe that is necessarily the truth. How about if Mike leaves, there will be transfers? Precious, Boogie, not Precious leaving anyway, a Lester, Boogie.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing at that point. I mean, did Mike build a lot of those relationships and get a lot of those guys here? Absolutely. I mean, especially a guy like Boogie, that was his guy from the beginning. Even with him going to Duke, still got him back to Memphis. So that there are some relationships that he built heavily. Lester Quinones, like you mentioned, is another one. But it's kind of the same thing. I mean, obviously those guys have been here for a year now. They have relationships with Cody Toppard and Tony Madlock and Penny Hardaway. So it's kind of the same thing. Now you're in a recruiting. Now you're recruiting your own guys to stay. So I think if Mike were to leave, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that you're going to have transfers. Is it a possibility? Certainly. I mean, even if Mike doesn't leave, transfers are always a possibility because you never know. That's just basketball. That's just sports in general. Anybody could decide that they want to go back home or that they don't want to be on the team anymore. They have a better opportunity. That's just sports. But I think at that point it becomes inner recruiting. You kind of have to show these guys your vision. Hopefully you can have a decent to high-level recruiting class at that time and say, okay, look who you get to play with next year. So it becomes a factor of recruiting your own guys at that point.
Who besides Greg Brown and Jalen Green are they in on for this class? Obviously, if Musa Cisse reclassifies, we understand that would be a priority for them and probably a likely get, you would say. And then who else is there?
Well, the biggest one has been Kareem Main, who is a guy who can play the point guard and the shooting guard spot, the one and the two, from up in Canada. Really, a lot of people didn't know about him until pretty recently because, you know, some of these guys that are in Canada get lost in the shuffle, especially when they don't play a ton of AAU ball. But he's actually – so I know this is going to be confusing, but when you look at the 247 sports rankings, you have the composite rankings, which –
He died just like that. Canada came in and swooped in, and he was about to blow the lid on Canada, and Canada swooped in the way those Canadians will. They're a dastardly bunch, Canadians, and that was that. He's now in a Saskatchewan somewhere. I think he's in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, and we may never hear from Christian Fowler again. Moment of silence for Christian Fowler as we try to get him back on the phone from Saskatchewan. Christian!
Yeah, I'm back.
You were about to blow the lid on Canada. You were about to expose the whole Canadian thing, and then dastardly Canadians came in. What were you about to say about Canada? Why are they under the radar, except for the fact that they're freaking in Canada? Yes?
No, I was actually going to talk about the 247 rankings because he wasn't known for a time. So the way it works is we have the composite rankings, which are the top rankings, and that comes from every recruiting service. So that's Rivals, 247, ESPN, all those mixed into one ranking and kind of averaged out.
Yeah.
And there's the bottom ranking, which is just the 247 ranking. He's been in the top 30 of the 247 ranking for a while, but he was, I think, in the top 150 of the regular ranking.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people from other recruiting services did not know about him and had not seen him. I think the first time I heard about him was last summer around the MBPA camp, and a lot of people were saying that he was going to rise up boards pretty quickly. The interesting thing about Kareem is that he could be draft eligible for 2020, which is obviously a different situation in and of its own because you never know with those guys if they want to go. If he gets a first-round draft grade, he could go. But it's somebody that Memphis has been on for a while. Cody Toppert ran the lead on that. They've checked in on him a few times. They've built a good relationship. And that's definitely, especially with the need that they have in the backcourt at the guard, especially point guard, as a lot of people have started to see lately, that they need a true point guard. That's a guy that they've prioritized for a while. And if they did miss out on a guy like Jalen Green, then you could see that priority kind of shift towards Kareem Main. Or if Kareem Main wanted to jump on board as well, it's someone that they could go with that they've liked for a long time.
It's interesting you say that. Do you think that is a need? I mean, A-Lo continues to mature, and he's had ups and downs this year. Boogie has either – we don't know if he's going to be back. Whatever. There's no reason to think he won't, but whatever. He may not be back, and he's not a true point. Do you think it's they would recruit a – do you think the point guard is a real need?
I think it can be, and I say that because, you mentioned two guys that play the point or that have been playing the point. Alex, will have another year under his belt, but – you want a point guard who can pass but who can also get a bucket.
Yeah.
And I feel like Alex really only goes and gets a bucket at the end of games or tries to go get buckets at the end of the
game.
And
it has not, let's be honest, it's not been particularly effective lately.
No, in the past several games it hasn't been effective. The thing that's interesting to me is Boogie Ellis. The first time I ever saw Boogie was at the Jordan Brand Classic last April, and I was blown away because everyone was saying he was a combo guard. He was going to play the two in college. He couldn't handle the ball in college. And when I watched him at the Jordan Brand in the practices and everything, I was like, this dude is a point guard. Like, this dude loves having the ball in his hand. He's unselfish. He knows who his playmakers are, and he can get a bucket. And so, we obviously saw him play the two for a while. They finally switched him to the point a little bit at times. He'll bring the ball up the floor now. And I think it's obviously worked out a lot better for him. I mean, when you look at what he was doing 5 and 6 games ago, averaging like 5 or 6 points a game, and now in the past, I think 6 or 7 games, he's averaging 15.5, 16 points. what changed? I mean, yeah, you can say his confidence changed. He had a game where he hit a couple of threes and his confidence went up. But he's had the ball in his hand more. He's controlled the pace of the game. He's gotten to bring the ball off the floor. And I think he's a guy who just plays better with the ball in his hand. Now, obviously, he's going to have to develop point guard skills because if you look at the box score last night, he played 27 minutes and didn't have any assists. But he had 17 points. He hit four threes. And it was primarily with him bringing the ball off the floor and having the ball in his hands and controlling the offense. So I think he could be, you know, a starting point guard next year if he continues to develop those skills. You get through this season, he has a whole offseason to work as a point guard. I think that's his best fit. A lot of people have disagreed and said that he's a two, but I see him being a one.
Talking to Christian Fowler from Go Tigers 247. I do want to ask you, it's a little bit of football since I have you. We don't have you on here too often. What do you think of the new staff?
I think a lot of people are shocked by the new staff. A lot of people underestimated what Ryan Silverfield could do and the relationships that he's built throughout his career. And when you look at this staff, I think you can put it up against any group of five staff and probably say that it is the best group of five staff and without them coaching the game. I mean, when you look around, Mike McIntyre, former AP Coach of the Year in 2016 at Colorado, had some great teams there. A lot of people say, well, he went to Ole Miss and their defense sucked last year. Look at their defense 2 years ago. They were, you know, they were the worst in the SEC and one of the worst in the country, and he made them much more respectable this past year. So Mike McIntyre is a huge hire. He brought with him Charles Clark, who has coached, I think, seven NFL draft picks in the defensive backfield, so that's a big plus there. He convinced Burt Watts to come in as a defensive coordinator, who led a very good Fresno State defense 2 years ago, convinced him to come in and be a position coach with the linebackers. And then the offensive staff, you keep most of your offensive staff. The only new hire really is Jim Bridge, who came in as an offensive line coach, very well-respected offensive line coach from Duke. And then, like I said, you know, your same guys from last year and Kevin Johns, Anthony Jones, John Simon. So I am even impressed. I knew Ryan Silverfield had some great relationships and was going to make some big-time hires, but even I was impressed with what he's been able to do. Even when you look at the support staff hire from the other day, being able to hire Glenn Thomas, who was a co-offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at Baylor under Matt Rhule as a senior offensive analyst. I mean, the way that he's building his staff has been pretty incredible.
And the recruiting class he put together, what'd you think?
A lot of people weren't happy with it because right. It wasn't ranked as highly as last year. A lot of times people overlook the fact that there's a thing called average ranking per recruit. So it's pretty self-explanatory. It's the average number of stars per recruit. And this is their highest or second highest class they've ever had when it comes to average ranking per recruit. So when you look at the quality, I mean, we knew from the beginning this was going to be a smaller class. Norvell loved taking guys late, taking transfers and stuff like that, which builds up on those scholarship numbers. They even had to blue shirt a couple guys last year. So we knew from the beginning this was going to be a bit of a smaller class. But what Ryan Silverfield was able to put together and keep from Norvell's recruiting classes was pretty crazy when you think about, I think he only lost one guy and then obviously got a couple guys on National Signing Day. So the recruiting class is better than people think it is. Just because it's not ranked as highly isn't because the players aren't as good. It's because the number is lower than it usually would be. So I think they filled needs. They reloaded offensive weapons, which is something that you have to do when you constantly have offensive guys going to the NFL. And then they hit their priority spots on defense. So I think it was a very good and underrated class from what people are thinking about it.
Explain to people what blue shirting is.
Okay, so all that is confusing even to me because there's so many shirts. There's like five shirts now. I don't understand it. There's no need for that
well,
many.
This is the idea: is you get people to come on who aren't. Let's be honest, they're people from other programs, right? Isn't that largely what's happening?
Actually, one of the ones they had last year was Jalen Sims, who was one of their highest-ranked recruits, which is crazy to think that they got one of their highest-rated recruits to blue shirt. But basically, it's saying that you can practice with the team. You don't have to be away from the team. You can't play. You know, it's in essence, it's a red shirt.
Person on scholarship when they're a blue shirt?
I don't think they're on scholarship their first year. I've
stumped the recruiting expert. Jeffrey's going to weigh in. Jeffrey, what do you have on the blue shirts?
Okay, so in theory, Christian's pretty much right. It essentially functions as a red shirt. The difference is
the player is not formally recruited at a high school or wherever, so therefore he didn't sign a national letter of intent. But in theory, it functions the
They're on scholarship. They're just not playing.
Correct.
And they didn't sign a national
letter of intent. And Christian is definitely right, though. They can practice.
Okay, I'm sorry I went down this rabbit hole. When you looked at the schedule the other day, Christian, what leapt out at you? And go ahead, give me an early prediction on their wins and losses. How many?
Eight and four?
You going 8-4? 9-3?
No, I saw someone say that the other day, that the ceiling was 8, and I don't see that. Also, with the, I don't know if you saw this, but the ESPN FBI putting them at 5th in the conference and 57th in the country.
I did see that. An insult. It was an insult. Yes.
Yeah. That was insane, and I get it because the coaches or whatever. But my prediction right now, from looking at the schedule, kind of breaking it down, I would say 10-2 is what I
no
feel
pressure,
comfortable
Ryan,
with.
No pressure. Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the talent on this team.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.